Hello. Welcome to Myers Counseling Group Podcast. We offer mental health, substance abuse, and wellness information for the community. To find out more information and to access previous podcasts and other resources, visit us at MyersCounseling.com. Hello. Today I would like to introduce attorney Lawrence Manessa from the law firm of Manessa and Hartman. Welcome, Lawrence.
Thank you, Mark.
I'd like to know, we could start with, if you could tell me a little bit about your firm, you know, as well as your some background information about yourself.
Well, my firm is Manessa Hartman PC in Barrington, Illinois. We practice almost exclusively family law. My background is I've been a practicing attorney for 29 years. First five of those years were in the state's attorney's office in Cook County, prosecuting criminal cases. For a period of time, I ran their domestic violence call. When I left the state's attorney's office, my practice developed, kind of morphed into a family law practice more and more with time. It wasn't a direction I necessarily chose, but it was a direction that chose me, and I have been known for many years now of being a well-regarded family law attorney.
Right. When couples are going through, you know, they're kind of making their decisions or they're thinking about the possibilities of ending a relationship, what would your approach be? I mean, somebody, you know, if you could kind of walk us through this from the first phone call, maybe not the first phone call, but from when they walk into the office, what are things that you present to them about the process, about their decision, where they're at? If you could explain a little bit about how you approach that.
Well, thank you for asking that, because I think the way I approach that and the way that my firm approaches that is very different than the way that most attorneys approach it, and I hope for very good reasons we're doing it differently. Reasons that are centered upon the individual that's contemplating divorce and needing to navigate the process and what's in their best interest in order to equip them. So I think when I speak to a person that's thinking about divorce, yes, as part of the process, I will give a legal analysis of what Illinois divorce law would say relative to their case to give them some reasonable expectations of what to expect if we went that route. We would also talk about alternative dispute resolution models, mediation, arbitration, and collaborative divorce, and we talk about the benefits of each one of those things. I would then pause. I would emphasize, because I believe it so strongly, that when people first are contemplating divorce, the vast majority of them, not everybody, the vast majority of them are in emotional trauma. They're scared, they're overwhelmed, they may have some real strong resentment, distrust, anger, which is a great defense for hurt. And it is my opinion, and you're a therapist, I'm sure your opinion and other therapists' opinion, that that's not a good place to make decisions about life-changing circumstances. And so what is done differently here, and what I'm looking to do more and more differently in the field, is to start looking at this whole divorce process in what I like to call the Mayo way, in a holistic way that deals with where these individuals are and what their actual needs are at that moment, and equip and equip and equip. But in the beginning, that's get them safe, get them well, get them grounded, get them in a better place to see themselves and their own contributions to the marital breakdown so they can work on them and they won't be repeated in the future, whether this relationship or a different one. and they'll see their spouse and their contributions more clearly as well. As you know, we can only fix our own.
Right.
But we have to see our own in order to do that. Once somebody is in that place, they're in a much better place to be able to make really good, sound decisions about whether to get divorced, the method by which to get divorced, and some may choose not to get divorced.
Right.
And I believe it has to be done in that order, and that unfortunately, my profession, too often, maybe for some selfish reasons, wants to fit them into what we do for a living as quickly as possible because it's good for getting new clients.
Right.
But the litigation process, or even the divorce process outside litigation, it's not cathartic. it doesn't help.
Right.
If you take broken people, and we're all broken, but in a time of trauma where we're even more broken, and broken relationships, and you throw them, for instance, in a litigation arena whose purpose is, the theory behind which is, if you take two adversaries and they throw allegations at each other in the form of motions and pleadings, back and forth, damaging each other with these allegations, at a point that they're already in a broken relationship and deeply hurt, and oftentimes with children that they need to co-parent, that the truth will come out. Well, it's not a complete fallacy. The truth may come out.
Right.
A lot depends on the expertise and ability of your attorney, but they never ask the next question, which is, at what cost did it come out? And it's not just the financial cost, because litigation's very expensive. It's the emotional cost. It's the damage that's being done. How do you take broken relationships and broken people, throw them in an adversarial arena, and expect that things get better instead of worse?
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. And so the anger, the resentment, the distrust that they came in with is all exacerbated by the process. And I just think that that's wrong, if not unconscionable. And my firm originally grew, and I became known for my litigation skills, so I got a lot of these very highly contested litigation, big estates, contested custody. But it was killing me inside, because I was seeing more and more the destruction to these people while that was happening, and I just had enough of it. And so the process by which I would encourage, step by step, is know your rights. An attorney can tell you your rights. Let the attorney hand you back to the counselors and support groups I believe in, individual workshops, anything that's going to help people work through the pain they're in, not feel alone, not feel overwhelmed, work through their own stuff, their own contributions, and get to a safe and grounded place, will help no matter what happens afterwards. And even if they get divorced at that time, they're approaching that divorce in a better emotional condition, so that the destruction of the divorce process will be less destruction.
Approaching it in a rational versus an emotional way, and especially when there's kids involved, and I'm sure from your end you've seen your fair share, and as well as from my end, about how, you know, people just get so consumed with feeling they need to go after the other person, that there's always going to be a collateral damage in that, whether it be individually, emotionally, or whether with kids or other people that are affected by their decisions.
So as a counselor, I know you already know this, but since you're asking me the question for purposes of a podcast, so it is my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that people, and this is layman's terminology, you use probably more precise terminology, have old brains and new brains. We have an amygdala.
Right.
And we have our more rational brain. And the amygdala gets activated when we're scared, when we're in fight or flight, when our body feels or our emotions feel like we're under attack. And that's really the state that most people are in when they're contemplating divorce.
Right.
And when the amygdala is activated, we are literally in fight or flight. We don't have the ability to access our newer brain, which is the rational brain that can make good decisions for ourselves. And so, yes, for sure, making decisions about life-changing circumstances or decisions every day that may or may not affect your children, but most of the time do, when your amygdala is activated and you're not in your rational brain, is not going to be a good idea.
Right.
And I've never once seen any divorce, no matter how angry the other party is, where it's cathartic, where that anger is dissipated and healed in the midst of wounding the other party. Nobody wins. And every action causes a similar reaction. And so what really happens is they all lose at ever-increasing levels.
Right. And what we also see is the after effects many years later, that they're still feeling the anger and the resentment from that process that they went through.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Let me make a comment about that too. So one of the motivating factors for me in trying to not just do it different at this firm, but I really want to start a revolution of the way that divorce is handled in this state and this country, because I think we spin it on its head. I think it's backwards. It's the legal first when the legal shouldn't be happening first. It should be the emotional. It should be the mental health. It should be the individual growth. It should be the workshops. It should be the support groups. It should be everything that helps the person get to a better place. And so if done that way, the damage is so much less. And so, yes, when you ask if 10, 20 years later, the pain levels are still so incredibly deep and why, I think your question answers itself, which is everything we're talking about. If you go through trauma while already in trauma, it's going to cut deeper and it's going to cut for longer.
Right.
So if we can help people get to a better place before they go through that trauma, it's still traumatic, it still stinks, but it's less traumatic, it stinks at less deep levels. The pain that the person is feeling at that time is much less significant. It lasts much less long. Is that a bad way of phrasing it? It lasts a much shorter period of time. And then you have the effect, if that person's doing better, their kids are doing better, their parents are doing better, their siblings are doing better, because it's their whole sphere of influence. It's their whole community.
Right.
Their coworkers, their friends, because we all have ripples on other people that are in our sphere of influence. And so if we help one person, we're helping so many.
When you've seen this, and I you know, so much agree with that. As I said, we've seen a lot of the residual effects years later, which will also go into other relationships that they get involved with after divorce. And as you mentioned, when we're talking about decision making, the prefrontal cortex, our decision making part of our brain, is usually pushed into the back when we're feeling that there's an active threat going on, and we're looking at survival. And if a couple is approaching a divorce with that, with the amygdala activated and with looking at this as a matter of fight or flight, that usually rational, logical decisions are not going to be made during that time. And that's such an excellent point that you bring up.
Can I bring up something that goes along with that?
Sure.
So I've spoken to a lot of divorce litigants, a lot of people that have gone through the divorce process over the years. And I will say that very few, I could probably count them on one hand, two at the most, in all of the years of my practice, that were aware that the children were being negatively affected by their anger at their spouse. Much more often. And they always see how the children are being affected by the anger of the other spouse. that all goes back to that same amygdala. That goes back to the same, if we can help people get into a safer, more grounded place, it's the unintended consequences that there'll be much less of them. And we all love our kids. We don't want them being negatively affected, especially deeply negatively affected by this. And a little personal story, for what it's worth, I'm the product of divorce. My parents were divorced when I was young. I know what it felt like, and they didn't handle it well. I'm divorced myself. I have children. I saw what they went through. It took me a while to own my own parts. I sure wish I would have done that prior to going through the divorce. I think we both would have handled it differently, and the children would have been less affected. But yeah, I see that on everybody that comes in. And so if things are done in the right order and people are getting the help that we all need going through trauma, and a counselor is part of that process and should be every single time, we'll be doing a better job helping these people navigate the process.
What do you see or suggest for children when you see this going on with parents? How do you approach it when there's kids involved and they may be being caught in the middle of all this?
Well, so I guess that's, I hate to keep going back to the same, what I like to call this mission statement for what I see as a divorce crisis center, which is I'm trying to build. The more we can get the parents safe, well, and more whole, the less effect it will have on the children, period, and they won't be so caught in the middle of it. But some easy tips. When children are told that their parents are going to get divorced, and I don't think they should be told that until the parents are sure they're going to get divorced, they should be told together. They should be reminded that this divorce is not about them, that they are fully loved by both parents, and that each parent encourages the kids to love the other parent and will continue to do so, as painful as that might be for that parent, because they love their kids that much. They know that that's what is best for their children. And that as far as parenting time, they're both going to be involved in the children's lives. That as far as the schedule, that they don't know yet, and as soon as they do know, the children will be the first to be told, but that they both have agreed to try to insulate the kids from the day in, day out experience of this divorce process as much as possible, because it's not fair to the kids for that weight to be on their shoulders.
And from this, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, from my end, I've seen oftentimes where parents will indirectly, directly get their kids caught up in it. You know, for parents to be very mindful of conversations going on. I've worked with a couple families where convenient conversations have gone on within earshot of a child, where I didn't tell them I said this, but they clearly overheard it. So precaution, I wholeheartedly agree with that, protecting and insulating with the kids. This is a mom and dad decision. And you know they're going to be affected by it, but they also don't need to be brought in on every detail, with especially when they're activated like that.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. I want to add one more thing if I can.
Sure.
And it has to do with more unintended consequences, because I think most of the time when it comes to things that will be negatively affecting the children, they're unintended consequences and not intended consequences, but they're still consequences. Mm-hmm. So some of it is what you just said, conversations that are had that may be an earshot of the children that shouldn't be. Understand that the children are also going through trauma. When people go through trauma because they see what's happening with their parents, that they see the contentiousness, if they don't even know about the divorce yet, or they might know about the divorce because maybe that was talked to them about already, they're going to be on guard. They're going to be hypervigilant. And so children want to know that it's safe, just like adults. They're just less able to process it all. And so even facial expressions, they could pick up on, you just got back from spending time with one of the parents and you get back and you're talking about how wonderful it was. And yet the parent that you're telling about it doesn't seem very happy.
Right.
That matters.
Right.
In every single way we can, if we can get the message across, even if it pains us deeply inside to do it, which is why we need counselors' help so that it doesn't pain us so deeply inside, and we work through that first, we owe it to our kids.
Right.
And because they're gonna pick up on how we feel, and we have no idea how often our facial expressions or other nonverbal cues are communicating. You're the counselor, you could probably give the quote on how much of communication is actually nonverbal, but I know it's a high percentage.
Right. Right. No, and I would agree with that. You know, it's the parents putting forth their best efforts, keeping their kids out of this, keeping them out of the middle, not sharing any information they need. The kids don't need to take sides. I agree that they need to look at this as, you know, that it's a parent, it's a mom and dad decision to end it. But it's they don't need to know, need to know all the details or take sides in this. And oftentimes, you're right, a nonverbal, sighs, bouts of crying when it's going on, crying in front of your kids, that certainly are things that are going to impact a child and during this very traumatic process for the child. And I agree with that. We've covered a lot. You gave me a lot of really good information. And we were talking before about how helpful it is to kind of have this whole system. What we have shared is, sometimes could be very dehumanizing for people and at a very traumatic and vulnerable time. It's really nice to know for them to have a human element in this, somebody who's not looking at this as part of the system, but be able to kind of walk them through this, not rush them through this, but walk them through this, getting them choices, helping them make some, truly life-changing decisions, not only for themselves, but for if there's kids involved. And I think that that's just so helpful for somebody to be able to reach out and, again, find a human element in what could be a very overwhelming and dehumanizing system. And it's just really nice to know that. Do you have a website we could direct people to?
Yes, it's manassalaw.com. It's manassalaw.com. Let me add one more thing, if I may.
Sure.
And that is that I've talked to a bunch of family law attorneys about this approach. I've mentioned this to a lot of prior clients that have gone through divorce. And I was part of a divorce support group for 8 years in local Barrington. I have never heard yet by any family law attorney, by anybody that's gone through divorce, and as I'm now sharing it with counselors as well, that this process, this method of handling and equipping people's emotional health needs first, and not the legal first, can do anything but help the situation out. Every family law attorney I've talked to believes that that's the case. Everybody that I know that's gone through divorce wishes that it was done this way. And so thank you for this interview. Thank you for putting on a podcast. If you're willing, and it's completely up to you if you put up the layout.
Sure.
Just the more we can get out there that there's a better way, and then I'm looking for more people that are like-minded like yourself that really want to help people in this way. Let's change the way that this is being done.
Excellent. And just as a reference, on my website, we're going to have, we certainly will have links not only to your firm. But what Lawrence is referring to is a mission statement about the whole divorce process. And it's a wonderful, wonderfully laid out plan here, which, again, will be able to be accessed on my webpage.
I'm going to be self-gratifying for just 1 second and then focus back on everything that we just talked about. So because of the work that we've done, we've gotten some awards, and I've been voted top 1% of family law attorneys nationwide by Rule Rating Services. We've been rated as top 10 law firms in family law in the state of Illinois. But what would make me much happier is to start some momentum towards this manner in which we're going about helping people, so that it's really focused in on not the work that these attorneys are doing, not even the work that I'm doing, but the process by which we're helping, that truly and only focuses on what each person contemplating divorce and navigating the process needs for them.
Excellent. I much appreciate your time. As I mentioned, it's really nice to, you know, to divorce is a, you know, it's not a, it's not a, it's a very traumatic event.
Absolutely.
It's a very traumatic, very, and it's nice to know again that there's, you know, there's a person out there. There's not a system that they're going to be kind of overwhelmed and involved, and I think that that's what prevents, you know, that that's what prevents or immobilizes a lot of people, or also agitates a lot of people when they get caught up in this system. And it's really nice to know, and well appreciated from this end, you know, that people do have other choices, a way to approach an unhappy relationship.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your interest, and thank you for being willing to get this idea out there more, because I think once it is, it may transform the way that divorce is handled, that
right.
is being handled in a way that really starts helping people a lot more.
Excellent. And again, thank you, Lawrence. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.